Title is Feeling Forgiven, and my text is in verse 13, last few words there. He forgave us all our sins. He forgave us all our sins. Okay, here's Dennis. He's got to drive his daughter back to college. 240 miles, he's looked on the internet, 240 miles. I think this is a long trip, right? If I go 60 miles an hour, 240, 60 or 4 hours, well, that's a long time, isn't it? Well, I go 70. 70 to 240, too hard, can't do that, right? Well, if we go to 80 then, if I go to 80, 240, 80, 3 hours, oh, 7 hours, man, 7 hours, right, that's what I'll do. I'll average 80. Of course, 80 is above the speed limit, legal limit. It's against the law. It could incur a penalty. But hey, I've done it before, I've got away with it before, and I'll save an hour. So off he goes. He completes his round trip at an average speed of 80 miles an hour. And then 5 days later, a nice little brown envelope comes through the door, £100 fine for speeding and 3 points on his license. Dennis has no defence. He can't possibly write off and complain and have an excuse. But though he knows he's guilty, he never felt guilty at all. All the time he was driving at an average speed of 80, he didn't feel guilty at all. But he was guilty. And from a justice point of view, from a legal standpoint, doesn't matter whether he feels it or not. Doesn't matter whether he feels guilty. It's irrelevant. He is guilty. He was guilty. In fact, he was guilty for the best part of 480 miles. So what? There's a real commodity called guilt, and there's a genuine thing called forgiveness. It's a real situation you can be in. It's a fact. You can be forgiven. Not a feeling. Now, there may be wonderful feelings associated with it. But regardless of whether we feel it or not, we can be forgiven. We hear phrases sometimes like somebody says, I got the blame, they're blaming me. They're saying it's my fault. Now, sometimes, of course, they're wrong. Sometimes they're blaming you, and they're wrong. You know, the situation with the missile now that shot down that airplane. You know, for a while, Iran was accusing the West and America and everybody for lying about the fact that, you know, you're blaming us for shooting this down, we didn't do it. So sometimes, you know, the blame is misplaced. But when I'm really to blame, when you are really to blame, you're guilty. That is your situation. Whether you feel it or not. I taught a boy when I was a teacher many years ago. He was a remarkable boy. He was a clever boy. But he was a remarkable boy because he was always causing trouble. But he was a brilliant con artist. He was absolutely brilliant. You could be sure that he had done whatever it was. He'd nicked something from somewhere. And you'd say to him, his name was Howard. That was his real name too. I don't know if he's still alive. Howard, and you'd say, Howard, oh, you did that, didn't you? And you go, sir, me, sir. Oh, sir. Sir, I'm so disappointed in you, sir. Sir, I've respected you so much. And that you would think that of me, sir. And, you know, until you got to realize, you could end up, you were feeling guilty, and you hadn't done anything other than tell the truth. But the point is, we are guilty. And in our text, the Lord Jesus Christ offers forgiveness. When you were dead in your sins, when you didn't have the foggiest idea who God is, when you were dead, clueless regarding your own sin. You pointed out others, of course, everybody does point out others. I remember once when I was working and Bill had done something wrong, okay? Bill was on the staff, he'd done something wrong. And there was a fellow I was working with, and all he did all week for 3 or 4 days was, oh, Bill, he did that, you know, Bill, oh, dear me, Bill. And in the end, Bill finds out that this fellow's whinging about him all the time, and he comes to Bill on the Friday afternoon and says, Bill comes and says, I'm awful sorry, man, you know? And the fellow says, oh, don't mention it. Thought, don't mention it, you mentioned it for 4 days, man. You haven't dealt with it. Well, we point out other sins in everybody else. But when you're clueless about yourself, when you were dead in your sins, he forgave us all, big word, all our sins. Now, how did he do that? He being the Lord Jesus Christ. How did he? We had in the signs, is great this morning, Phil, excellent again. There he is. He died, Jesus died upon the cross. Now, how did that somehow forgive us our sins? How he had to cancel, it says, the code violations, the written violations, all the times we've broken God's law, every single time. In the old days, remember computer printout, your big square paper, they used to come out in layers. Well, you know, it would have been endless for us, the code violations. And Jesus had to cancel that code violation that was against us, whether we felt it or not, all the layers of guilt. He had to take it away and nail it to his own cross. Jesus took the consequences of my guilt and yours, whether you feel it or not. Or Revelation 1 puts it like this. He freed us from our sins by his blood. So what's forgiveness? It's setting me free from the consequences of my guilt. It doesn't excuse my guilt. I am guilty. But it sets me free from the consequences of my guilt. It cuts the cord. It doesn't ignore it. It doesn't minimize it. It doesn't say, oh, don't worry about it. No, my guilt is real. But it cuts the cord. It sets me free. Forgiveness sets me free from the inevitable consequences of my sin. It frees me from the consequences once for all. Finished. Done. No condemnation for me. He forgave me all my sins, regardless of how I feel. Now, obviously, if you don't feel the guilt at all, you'll never ask for forgiveness, will you? But it doesn't matter whether I cry buckets or I sit there quietly and pray to God and nobody knows. It doesn't matter. The important thing is, am I forgiven? I'm either forgiven or I'm not. Not half forgiven, not 70% forgiven. You're either forgiven or you're not. But if you are forgiven and you complain, you don't feel different, something's wrong with you, you are guilty now of not accepting God's forgiveness, whether you feel it or not. So if you say, oh, I am forgiven, but I really don't feel like it, so I better pray and ask forgiveness again, then you are now angering God, because if he says you're forgiven, whether no matter what anybody else says, you are forgiven, regardless of what anybody else says. See, this forgiveness is not a feeling, though feelings are wonderfully involved. But the forgiveness is a fact. Something's happened. I have been freed from the punishment associated with my guilt. My guilt is horrendous. I remember when I was a young Christian listening to the radio, and there was a humanist on the radio, and he was encouraging humanist funerals. They were brand new then, very common now. They were brand new then. And he was asked a great question. What about the mistakes you've made? Oh, well, he said, because you do meet people sometimes. I meet, especially after funerals. You meet people and they say things like, oh, if only I'd been there, if only I'd done more. They feel guilt, and sometimes it's false guilt, but sometimes it's real guilt. They're feeling it, if only. So this humanist was asked by this presenter, what do you do about your guilt? What do you do about the fact that you've made mistakes? And he said, oh, I think we can atone for what we've done wrong. Now, unfortunately, the presenter should have asked, how? But he didn't. How do you do that? How do you atone for your own sins? In the 1950s, the Nuremberg War Trials, that's after the Second World War, now many Nazi SS officers were rounded up, and they were rightly put on trial for their sins against humanity, sins against thousands and thousands and thousands of Jews and so on. And there was a film shown in America of the Nuremberg War Trials on a Saturday afternoon. And as the people were watching the film, suddenly it came, oh, there's an announcement, a news flash. We go live to Alabama. And they went live from looking at the horrendous atrocities of the Nuremberg war trials, they suddenly went to their own country, Alabama, where Martin Luther King was leading a peaceful protest, and they saw their own country. They saw people, police and others, wading in, beating mainly black people, but anybody who was in the march, beating them with sticks and kicking them. And of course, this was horrific because, hang on, we've just been watching the Nuremberg war trials saying, dear me, these Nazis were evil, and suddenly we see we're the same. We're the same. How can I atone for my sins? See, religion will give you advice. Go there, do this, whatever. Christianity is news. It's not advice. Christianity is news. God has done something. It's finished. It's sorted. This, the power of the cross. We just sang, oh, to see the dawn. What's happening? Something's happening there. God is doing something, and he's done it. He's not going to do it again. It's done. It's finished. What can we do to get our guilt sorted? Well, this is the sort of thing we try and do. What are the alternatives? Don't worry about it. I'll be fine. I always think of a funeral on the hill here, where the local vicar at that time, we've had about three since, but the vicar at that time said to relatives who I knew were sitting in the front, and they were breaking their hearts. And he said to these sobbing relatives, don't grieve. He hasn't gone. He's merely in the next room. I have never felt such a desire to stand up and shout, you liar. In the next room. Which room? Which room is he in? What are you talking about, these people? Not only has he gone, but there's a fair chance they'll never see him again. And they might end up in hell as well. But I thought, you liar. So, but that's one of the common ones about guilt. Oh, don't worry about it. Forget about it, man. Or try your best. Come to church. Keep the commandments. Go there. Do that. Pray this. Sing that. This is what people do who are spiritually dead. They're not dopey and dozy. They're dead. They haven't got a clue. How can going there, how can coming here this morning, singing some stuff, listening to Aidan, leading in prayer, how can that possibly alter your eternal destiny? It can't. How can it do that? But the tragedy is it can make you feel better. You can go home. Oh, you feel better, don't you? How many people have said that to me? Oh, you feel better going to church. But are you forgiven? Because feeling better, I don't grieve. He's only in the next room. They probably felt better. Oh, he hasn't gone. And then it'll hit them like a sledgehammer in a few hours or days. He has gone. Or the guy I spoke to from the hill a while ago who said to me, I am saved. I said, oh, right, I didn't know that. Tell me about it then. Well, he said, my life was a terrible mess, you know, terrible mess, drugs and drink, you know. But some nuns downtown, you know, the Sisters of Mercy, they prayed forgiveness over me. Oh, yeah, that's interesting. Oh, and I felt different for a while. But, you know, I've gone back to my old ways, you know. And I had to say to him, do you know why? You're going back to your old ways. Do you know why? You're not forgiven. Oh, but they prayed forgiveness over me. But they can't. They can't. With the best intentions in the world, they can't. The reason do you feel forgiven? No. Do you know why? You're not forgiven. But you need to be forgiven. Your guilt is still on you. God is still seeing your guilt. You're still condemned. Only Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, can forgive your sins. And he can only forgive your sins if he's taken your sins away from you and put them on himself. It's awful simple. Only by his condemnation can you be set free. It is a swap. It's an exchange. Only by him taking your sin on Calvary's cross. Jesus hangs there on a lump of wood between heaven and earth because it's your fault. Whether you feel it or not, it's your fault that he's there. and that fault is real. Your guilt is real. It is your fault. You must take the blame. You must ask him, admit to your fault, admit to your guilt, and ask him to take it away. And wonderfully, a number of us have found he'll do just that because he loves to do it. He loves to set us free from our sins. Amen. Amen. Oh, well, what a song to finish. And can it be that I should gain